Tino mai, Wairua tapu, haere mai ki konei.
Morena, it's Karen and Elijah here. We are the lead pastors of Unite Church, a family of house churches with an oversight and a shepherd's community.
We desire to grow as apprentices of Jesus. That's our one thing. How do we do this? By practicing the way of Jesus as his church.
This centers on commitment to Jesus and one another with the practice of scripture, prayer, and community. Scripture is about the story of God. The practice is to know him, ourselves, and the world through the lens of scripture.
Prayer is about the Spirit of God. The practice is to connect to, be formed by, and partner with the triune God, heart to heart, through awareness and surrender.
And community is about the people of God. The practice is to do these two other things in committed community, where we foster trust and freedom, learning to apprentice in spirit and truth in a real life environment. This is what Jesus means when he talks about loving one another as he has loved us.
And all of this because the God who made us loves us and came to save us so that he could be with us. Let's keep this in mind as we dig into this week's video.
Nice. I'm going first this time. It's my turn. So I'm going to be speaking continually about our apprenticeship to Jesus. And some of what I say has been inspired and quoted again by John Mark Comer's book, Practicing the Way.
And I've got my own book that I'm inspired by.
Oh my gosh.
Dog Man, Ball of the Wild.
Put out the video because people were like, what the heck? Sorry about that guy. Back to me. I'm going to be talking about like rhythms and habits and stuff, and I talk about this a lot. So this time I want to hone in on the goal of being with Jesus. So in the last video, I talked about our goals as apprentices of Jesus. One, to be with Jesus day in, day out, all day, every day. Two, to become like Jesus. This is the heart and soul of apprenticeship, being with your master for the purpose of becoming like your master. And three, to do as Jesus did, carrying on his work in the world. To achieve these goals, like we just said, our three main practices are scripture, prayer, and community. These three simple practices can then be crafted into rhythms daily and weekly. So goal number one, be with Jesus. Being with Jesus, day in, day out, all day, every day. How do we do this? John 15, hello again to John 15, says many times over and over, remain in me. And in some versions, the word abide is used, abide in me. Jesus uses the analogy of the vine and branches to show what this looks like. He is the vine, we are the branches, a really excellent picture of connection. In Greek, the word abide can be translated as stay, dwell, or make your home in. We could translate the verse like this, make your home in me as I make my home in you. It's very beautiful and profound. None of these translations have any space for time away and time back in. So you think of a vine with branches. Branches don't disconnect and then get connected back in consistently. It's abiding, remaining. It's a constant. And this is something that we need to learn, especially in a world with a million different distractions. And when you learn something, you repeat it over and over until it becomes a habit. We all abide in something. We all have habits built in, either new ones or ones that have come from our childhood. And this is the way our brains are built, the ways that they are created to run. All of us have a source we're rooted in, a kind of default setting they return to, an emotional home. It's where our minds go when they're not busy with tasks, where our feelings go when we need solace, where our bodies go when we have free time, and where our money goes after we pay the bills. What we abide in or remain in will determine the fruit of our lives. What would it look like for us to make our home, our fruit, our habits all focused on God? John Mark Comer says it's learning to be in two places at once, eating your breakfast and being with Jesus, driving your kids to school and being with Jesus, sorting through your inbox, emails, admin, and being with Jesus. How do we create the habit of being in, with Jesus in all that we do, all day, every day? Starting a habit or a practice will be very humbling. It will be hard, it will feel unnatural, or it will start off to be really lovely and amazing and awesome and then kind of take a dive. So I started a rhythm about 9.5 weeks ago of waking up at 6 a.m, going downstairs, doing a workout, and then sitting down and reading the Bible. Now the first couple of weeks was really hard. I was tired. It got to like after lunch and I was exhausted. I was sore. I wasn't used to engaging my brain that early in the morning. But now I'm 9 weeks in and it's a habit. It's a rhythm that's giving me life in a few different ways. I'm taking seriously the formation of my soul, and that starts with being with Jesus. Fox, our six-year-old, came down the other morning and was like, "Oh, you're reading the Bible again." Oh, he said something like, "Haven't you read all of it heaps of times before?" And so I told him, I don't know the words I used, but I told him something about how it's important to be in the Word to be forming my soul. And that doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by getting swept away by the shallow desire to stay in bed for another hour, even though I might want to. But it's my deep desire, which is to be with Jesus. So that's what's leading me. That's what's leading my rhythms.
That's really good. And we want to continue this space where we rely on the grace of God with an intent to grow with Him.
Yep.
We've had a look at Matthew 26:6-46 over this week. And these passages are deeply beautiful, deeply powerful, and deeply sorrowful. As we sit in the days before His crucifixion, let us consider the wider context. Jesus began His public ministry in Matthew 4, we remember this, with the proclamation that the kingdom of the presence of God has been made available to all, not by our good deeds or intentions, but by His good grace. Mm. Jesus opened the door to true life. He showed us true reality in the way He lived, how He trusted the Father and what He valued. And then Jesus becomes the doorway for us to enter. He was broken for our wickedness, both personally for who among us is good on our own efforts, and collectively for all creation groans under the weight of being disconnected from its life force. He became the doorway into relationship with the Trinitarian God, Father, Spirit, Son, and complete self-giving community. When Jesus talks about the blood of the covenant in Matthew 26:28, He is referencing Abraham's covenant with God in Genesis 15. Here's what Marty Solomon from Bema has to say about this, and I found it profound. So Abraham gets the animals and cuts them in half and arranges them opposite of each other, which is so gross, but there was a time and place for it, I guess. Does that seem odd to you? Because God didn't tell him to do that. Abraham knows exactly what to do because this is a common practice in the world of covenants. They're setting up what is called a blood path covenant. This is a covenant sign that is often used in Abraham's day to signify a betrothal or engagement. Covenant. These very animals are used, cut in half, and arranged opposite one another on opposing slopes. The arranged halves create a path of blood in between the animals. As the two parties agree to the marriage, the lesser party, for example, the future groom who is asking the father of the future bride to marry his daughter, dons a white robe. The symbolic statement is, and then passes through the path of blood. As the blood splashes up onto his white robe, bear with me, I know that's gross. The symbolic statement is, if I mistreat or abuse your daughter, you may do this in my blood. After this, the father dons a white robe and passes through the same blood path, saying, if I do not supply you with a virgin for a daughter, you may do this in my blood. Mm. It's the collateral covenant that allows for the parties to be held liable for their promises. God sets up an engagement covenant for Abraham. Now, whose move is it? Who is the lesser party? Abraham is, obviously. But Abraham doesn't pass through the halves. In fact, he chases away the vultures. What does that tell you? This ceremony has been set up for some time. Mm. But Abraham knows that he'll never be able to keep his end of the covenant. He won't be able to live obediently for God for the rest of his days. If Abraham's little toe hits the blood path, he's a dead man. Mm. And so God puts him in a deep sleep. And while Abraham is greatly distressed and troubled, Abraham sees a flaming torch and smoking pot pass between the halves. Now, fire and smoke always symbolizes the presence of God.
Mm.
So what does Abraham see? God is passing through the covenant halves, not once, but twice. Mm. God passes through the halves on behalf of Abraham. In other words, Abraham, when you fall short, I will cover your shortfall. We will pay for it in my blood. Goosebumps yet?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. And every Christian immediately sees Jesus in the story. But I would make this point. It's not just that the story is a foreshadowing of Jesus. It's that this is who God has always been. God has always taken our sin on himself.
Mm.
God has always covered our shortfall. This is who God is. There is no God of the Old Testament and God of the New Testament. He has always been the same God. His message has always been the same. I am God. I love you. I am for you. I will fight for you in spite of yourself.
Mm.
Just trust me. And so we enter into a relationship with God, the source of life, on his terms. His terms are better than ours, guys. It's worth trusting.
Mm.
We don't come and add him to our lives. We leave our lives and enter into Jesus. It's that heart response that marks us as apprentices of him.
Mm.
Remember the first time that Jesus was revealed to you and it felt like he'd saved your life? Mm. Let's live that.
Mm.
He reconnects us to the source of life and restores us to who we were made to be. We are in process. We know this. And Jesus is faithful to heal and grow us as apprentices of him in the most profound and real ways. From the mystery of heart-to-heart communion with our Creator in prayer, to the real-life testament of his Spirit transforming the way we think, the way we see ourselves and others, and the way we love in the world day to day. Let us consider this as we worship him.
Hmm.
So let's go to our questions.
Question Tahi, how has Jesus loved you this week?
Question Rua, what habits have you built or need to build related to being with Jesus?
And Toru, ask God, how do you experience me? And then share with one another.
Big vulnerable spaces of building trust with God and one another. To end, let's take some time to stop and consider our money and treasures before God. Jesus made it clear where our treasure is, there our heart is also. We've just re-looked at our own space of tithing and giving regularly, if you want to put it that way, of just saying before God, what are you asking us to do as worship? And so I encourage you to do so as well for 2024. Holy Spirit, speak to our finances. Mm. Holy Spirit, speak to what you want to do with our money. We're open to you. We don't put any walls up. Whatever you want to do, we trust you when it comes to regular giving, to our faith community, when it comes to other spaces you're calling us to hold back or give, would we be responsive to your Spirit?
Mm.
Thank you, Jesus. So we're just about to end now.
If you want to contact us, get baptized, get involved in a neighborhood church, discuss starting a neighborhood church or start giving financially, you can go to
unitechurch.org.nz. That sounded like what's that? Anyway, we have our Kids Bible Club on Monday, 3:30 to 5 p.m. at the Unite Hall, primary school aged, all invited, and our City Youth on Thursdays, 7 to 8:30, and it's very good.
Yeah, and our next all-in gathering is the last Sunday of every month, and the next one is Easter Sunday.
And let's just take our final moment before we end to slow down and connect with our Lord Jesus. Mm. I invite you to pray this after me. We know love. Jesus, you love me and I love you. Take a deep breath. We practice love. Jesus, I practice love and you perfect it in me. Another deep breath. We carry love. Jesus, where your Spirit leads, I will follow. One final deep breath. In your holy name, amen. All right. As always, we're praying for you in the love of Jesus. Aroha nui, you know, whānau.
Bye.